Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Proverbs 31, look in verse number 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above the rubies. Boy, what a great verse that is this morning. And can I just say this to you young men that's looking for a wife? That's what you should look for, amen? Matter of fact, after Leslie and I had been dating a little while, I began to pray if it's the one that God would have me to marry. Now, I believe God speaks through His Word, and God gave me this verse for her to be my wife. And I went and bought a ring that had a ruby in it and gave it to her. And that was the promise that the Lord gave me. That's who she was supposed to be my wife. Who can find a virtuous woman for her price is far above the rubies? Look what the Bible said in verse 15. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. Go with me for the sake of time to verse number 26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Boy, I read that verse this week, and man, I'm telling you, it is just so stirred in my heart. And in her tongue is the law of kindness. Is the law of kindness. Look in verse number 30. The Bible said this: favor is deceitful and beauty is in vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Father, I love you this morning, and I pray, God, that you would help us today. Lord, I just want to be pleasing to you, and God, thank you. God, thank you so much for the sweet spirit that's already been felt in our service today. God, I sure don't want to drop the ball now, so I pray that you would help me for a little while just to relay the truths from your word, Father. I pray that if there's any underneath the sound of our voice that's not saved, I pray, God, that you would save them today. God, any here out of your will, bring them back close to you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. I want to look into Proverbs chapter number 31. We're really going to look at verse 10 through 31 by the time I'm done. Not in depth, but just a little overview. And talk to you about this thought, the qualities of a godly mother. The qualities of a godly mother. Or can I say it this way? The qualities of a godly individual. Now, I know it's Mother's Day, and I'm going to talk a lot to the mother. And I know this is talking about the virtuous woman here. But again, there's an application that can go to all of our lives. Proverbs 31 presents the portrait of a virtuous woman, not merely as an ideal wife, but as the picture of a godly woman whose life impacts her home, her family, and her generation. In the context of Mother's Day, this passage highlights the value, influence, and spiritual growth of a godly mother. The passage begins this way: who can find a virtuous woman for her price? Well, it's far above the rubies. This sets the tone for the entire text that follows verse number 10. A godly mother is rare, valuable, and beyond earthly price. Solomon is not emphasizing outward beauty or outward talent or status, but character. The word virtue carries the ideal of strength, integrity, and moral excellence. And can I say this to you today? That is the way each of us should strive to live our life. In light of Mother's Day, the passage reminds us that the greatest influence in a home is often the quiet daily faithfulness of a mother. Her work may not always be public, but her work will always be powerful. I thought about this. If she is a Proverbs 31 lady, she sacrifices teaches, labors, teaches, prays, and gives of herself continually for those that she truly loves. The text also balances tenderness with strength. I thought about this. She is compassionate, yet disciplined. She's gentle, yet hardworking. She's humble, yet honored by her family. One of the strongest truths in this passage is that true beauty is spiritual and not merely physical. What did the Bible say? Favor is deceitful. And beauty is in vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, the Bible says this, she shall be praised. I think we can take Proverbs 31 and see the values or the characteristics of a godly mother today. Can I show you two or three things? Number one, I would say this. When we look at a godly mother today, or not just a godly mother, a godly individual, I would say this. Number one, there is a steadfast character. There is a steadfast character. Again, the Bible says, who can find a virtuous woman? In other words, she is steadfast in her character. Virtue is the result of salvation. It speaks of godly living, integrity, strength, and genuine character today. Hey, that person that is pleasing to the Lord, they are steadfast in their character. A godly mother is not simply someone who knows how to manage a home. She is someone whose life has been changed by God. There is some, they may know how to manage their home just well when it comes to the world's view of things. But what about God's view of things? Her character, can I just simply say it this way? Her virtue, her character, it's a result of knowing God. There is a lot of good mothers today, but you should strive not to be a good mother, but a godly mother, because if you're a godly mother, a good mother will come into play on that. Her character is steadfast today. She's not moving with the time, and she's not changing. She's not led by emotion, but she's led by the Savior. A steadfast character today. This mother was what she was because she knew the Lord. She had a steadfast character, not because of those around her, but because of the one living inside of her. Matter of fact, verse number 20 says this in our text. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. A woman who walks with God will naturally have compassion towards others, but especially her children. And I say that again, a woman who really walks with God will have compassion towards others, but especially her children. And can I just say this in passing today? This is not just the moms, this is the dads also. But if there's ever a time that we are more compassionate towards someone else's child than we are our own child, then there's a problem. She's steadfast in her character. Number one, I see a steadfast character, but number two, I see a sacrificial heart. When I think about a mother and the good qualities of a mother, I think about a sacrificial heart. When I think about my mom, that's exactly what I think about, is a sacrificial heart. Listen to what the Bible said in verse number 11 of Proverbs 31. The heart of her husband to safely trust in her. Verse 12 says this, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates. Verse 28, her children arise up and call her blessed. Why does her children rise up and call her blessed? Because she has a sacrificial heart. This mother possessed a love that did not quit when things got hard. She did not throw in the towel when things got hard. She did not throw in the towel when she didn't understand why things was going the way that they were, but she stayed sacrificial in her love. Think about this, a sacrificial heart. She had a sacrificial love for her husband. She had a sacrificial love for her. Her love was faithful. Her love was dependable. Her love was growing. She had a sacrificial love for her husband. I wrote this down, don't ever let love die. Can I say it again? Don't ever let love die. You say, well, preacher, love can't die. You're wrong. Love can die. And I'm going to tell you something. I like that song that I've heard several youth choir sings that says this. I keep falling in love with him over and over again. And when it comes to your relationship with your spouse, when it comes to your relationship with your children, we should fall in love with him over and over and over again. A guy by the name of Gary Chapman wrote a book that's entitled The Five Different Love Languages. If you've never read the book, I encourage you to get the book and read it and find out which love language your spouse is and then read on how to keep their love tank full, because there is times that the love tank runs out and it's up to you to fill the love tank up. I'm just going to go ahead and preach a minute. Here's what happens so many times when problems come in a home and there's unfaithfulness in the home. They always want to blame it on somebody else, but maybe... just maybe the other individual had something to do with it also, because they wasn't keeping their spouse's love tank full. When you get done with it, read the one he wrote on the love languages of your children and learn how to love your children based off of that. You say, well, preacher, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to base it off the Bible too. And if you'll read the book, you'll find out he does too. Watch this. There was a sacrificial love for her husband. After all the years together, real love ought to deepen and not diminish. Thursday night, I was standing there at Southside, and Brother Jonah Vitto come in. I hadn't seen him in years. Brother Jonah surrendered to preaching in 2016 at the tent meeting there at Northwood, and he came in, and I started talking to him, and he had his little wife with him, and I looked at him, and I said, man, how long have you been married? And he said, 2 years, preacher, 2 years. I said, you're still on the honeymoon? And he said, yeah. I said, we're over 25 years, and I'll be honest with you, Brother Jonah. And he looked at me, he said, okay. I said, it's better today than it was the day we got married. And can I say that again today? It's Brother Jonathan, my relationship with my wife, the fellowship in our home, the peacefulness in our home, it's better today than it's ever been. Why? Because we have a sacrificial love. She had a sacrificial love for her husband, a sacrificial love for your spouse. Watch this. She had a sacrificial love for her children. For her children. She had a sacrificial love for her children. A mother who stays close to the cross will stay close to her children. And I say that again. A mother that stays close to the cross will stay close to her children. John chapter number 19, verse number 25. Whenever we get to the cross, who do we find at the cross? Pretty much everybody else has forsaken the Lord. 11 of the 12 have. Of course, John is there at the cross, but who else is there at the cross? We'll find that Jesus' mother, Mary, is there at the cross with him. Why? Because she had a sacrificial love towards her child and was willing to go to the end with her child. The closest thing to God's love on this earth is a godly mother's love to her children. I'm glad that my mom just didn't love me in the good times. I'm glad that my mom just didn't love me when I was doing right. I'm glad that my mom just didn't love me when I obeyed her. I'm glad that my mom just didn't love me when I'd done what she said do. But I'm glad that my mom extended a hand of love and had a sacrificial love for me through my whole life. What about this? There's a sacrificial love for her husband. There's sacrificial love for her children. And then she has a sacrificial love for the Lord. What did the Bible say in verse number 26? She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. Her tongue, in other words, you can base kindness off of what she says. Boy, that's interesting, isn't it? That's interesting. You guys holler amen at me. You with me? That's interesting. It says, when you find this Proverbs 31 woman, the words that came out of her mouth was kindness. That was her law. That was the way she lived her life. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. The mouth of wisdom and the law of kindness come from the Lord. The phrase, the law of kindness, conveys the kindness in the guiding principle of her speech and conduct. In other words, kindness governs the way she talks to people. The word law carries the ideal of something established, consistent, and ruling. This was not occasional kindness depending on her mood. Kindness had become the principle that controlled her tongue. This does not mean she was weak, soft on truth, or lacked discipline. The Proverbs 31 woman was strong, hardworking, and wise. But even when correcting, teaching, or speaking truth, she did it with grace and compassion. Can I say that again? She did it with, if somebody will say amen, we'll get done quicker. She did it with grace and compassion. The phrase points to the picture of a woman. The phrase points to the picture of a woman whose words heal instead of wound, who speaks with wisdom instead of bitterness, who uses her tongue to build rather than destroy. She uses her tongue to build up instead of destroy. Let me tell you the reason some kids have such a low self-esteem. It's because of the way they are talked to. Because of the way they're talked to. I thought about this. This does not only go for the virtuous woman, but this should go to every one of us sitting here today. Our words should be words of kindness. It is especially carries weight in the home. A godly mother sets the atmosphere of her home largely through her words. Her speech becomes a law that shapes the household spirit. Kindness was not something she practiced occasionally. It was the law that governed her tongue. Her mouth was ruled by wisdom, and her words were restrained by kindness. Wisdom speaks the truth. Kindness speaks of the spirit. A godly woman knows how to speak the right thing in the right way. There's a lot that may know how to speak the right thing, but speaking it in the right way is a whole different story. And that statement was for all of us, not just the women. There's a lot of people who knows how to say the right thing. They have no clue how to say it. They're so brash, they're so harsh, they're so rude. And you know what? I can't find that nowhere in the Bible. I can't. I'm going to tell you right now, you study Jesus, boy, he laid them out. You study every time Jesus laid somebody out, and you know who it was? A Pharisee. That's who he laid out. But you go to the center and look at the way he treated them. I want to tell you something today. Our words does matter. What we say and how we say it, it does matter. When a mother's love for God is right, everything else will fall into the place. I thought about this, and I'll give you another thing or two, and we'll be done. It's 11:55, but I thought about this. My mama, if you know my mama, you know my mama. My mama will say whatever my mama wants to say. It don't matter who it is. It don't matter where she's at. She'll say whatever she needs to say. But can I tell you something about my mama? It's always got the law of kindness in it. It's always got the law of kindness in it. My mama came down on me hard from 16 to 18 years old. She came down on me hard before that, but especially from 16 to 18 years old. There's a period in my life that I'd give anything to go back and change. I really would, but I can't. I can't, but I'd give anything to go back and change. I can't. And I remember during that time, my mama had some serious talks with me. I mean, she had some, she would say this, we're going to go to the hoorah bush. If mama ever told you, especially before I was 16 years old, if mama ever said we was going to the hoorah bush, it was going to be bad because there was some limbs on the hoorah bush and she was going to take them off and she applied them to where I sit. I never got put in timeout my whole life. My mama does not know how to count to three. She don't know how to count to two. She don't even know one. Are you with me? I never sat in the corner with my nose in the corner and my back to everybody else. She never isolated me from everybody else and humiliated me in doing that. Better be careful how you're raising your kids. You pull them out from everybody else and isolate them. You're humiliating that child. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Just get back to the Bible and the way the Bible says. Is everybody okay this morning? Just get back to the Bible and raise them the way the Bible says raise them. But I thought about this, and all that time, my mama never humiliated me in front of nobody. There's never one time that my mama talked down to me in front of nobody else. Never one time. I remember I was in Sunday school one morning. And that's a good thing to go to. You'll try it sometime. I was in Sunday school one Sunday morning. All the Sunday school teachers should have said amen right there. I was in Sunday school one Sunday morning. I don't know. I was probably 11 or 12 years old. And there's a whole gang of us in there. And usually we didn't raise our hands to God. We raised a lot of stuff, but it wasn't for the Lord usually in Sunday school. Y'all will get that in a little while. And I'll never forget Miss Linda Lineberry looked at me one Sunday and she said, Jonathan Barker. And I said, present. She said, go stand outside the door. I said, for what? I mean, one time, Brother D.C., there was plenty of times I should have stood outside the door. But that one time, I truly wasn't doing anything. She said, for disrupting. I said, I'm not disrupting the class. Well, I was then. I got stood outside the door in the basement in the hall at Turner's Creek Baptist Church. And it was at the end of the hall where my class was at. And if you've ever been in the basement of Turner's Creek Baptist Church, the hall goes from here to Highway 89. And I'll never forget my mama come out the other end of that hall. She was supposed to be in Sunday school that morning. I don't know why she wasn't in Sunday school. She come out the other end of that hall, and she come walking up through there, and it was like forever before she got there. I was thinking the whole time, oh, this is going to be bad. I hope that there's standing room only during preaching because I'm going to need to stand up when this is over with. She came up to me, and she said, hello, Jonathan. I said, hey, Mom, it's Sunday school. Why are you not in Sunday school? Not the right thing to say. She said, why are you not? And I said, Mama, I didn't do nothing. I don't even know if she remembers this, but I do. Mama, I didn't do nothing. She opened the door, and I heard, I was thinking, well, Daddy preached about talk about me behind my back. I didn't say that to her. Somebody say amen right there. She closed the door back, and she said, come on, honey, we're going to take a walk. It was the longest walk right up the hill to Turner's Creek, right through the cemetery. I lived right beside the cemetery to the house. And she took me home and beat the brakes off of me and brought me back. And I went back in my Sunday school class. She never said one word to me in front of everybody else. She took me in private and dealt with me in private. Was her words of kindness? I didn't think they was at the moment, but they was. Let me tell you the reason why. Let me tell you, she had a sacrificial love. You see, when you truly love somebody, listen to me, when you truly love somebody, you're not interested in tearing them down. You're interested in building them up. You're interested in making the best out of them for them. There was a sacrificial heart. There was a steadfast character. I'm going to say this, and then I'll give you a couple things, and I'm done. I was thinking about this. I never forget I was dealing with something one time, and I don't even know if Brother Brian knows this or remembers this. But I called him, and I talked to him, and here's one thing he said. He said, well, whatever you do, just be kind. He said, show them kindness. And you know what? As I read back through Proverbs 31 this week, I seen what Brother Brian was saying was spiritual. Just be kind. I'm preaching good this morning. There's a steadfast preacher, if I be kind, I'm compromising. You're so unspiritual, you don't even know what the Bible is. You can say amen or oh me right there. It's the truth. Just be kind. There's a steadfast character. There's a sacrificial heart. But then watch this. There's a selfless commitment. Proverbs 31, verse 13 says this, worketh willingly with her hands. She ariseth also, in verse 15, while it is yet night. Verse 21, she is not afraid of the snow of her household. Verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household. The mother understood that a godly home does not happen accidentally. Her selfless commitment. She worked, she sacrificed, she stayed faithful in the daily responsibilities. Miss Tanya, come start playing softly. I remember, and I'm just going to talk about my mom for a minute. I remember I went to work I went to work when I was old enough to pick up a bale of hay. Daddy put me in the hayfield in the summertime with the farmers at the church. And I wish I had a nickel for every bale of hay I've ever picked up in my life. And I found out later in life that I was allergic to it. And Daddy just said I was soft. Are you with me? But anyway, when I was 18 years old, I went to work at Unify. I'll never forget when I started Unify. It was like $9.25 an hour, and I thought, I am knocking it down. 1996, making $9.25 an hour. And I'll never forget when I made it up to $10.50 an hour, and I was like, man, I'm going to buy a Rolls Royce. Some of y'all remember them days. Some of y'all remember them days. Matter of fact, I was talking to Brother Brian's daddy. He retired from Sir Yakin, and whenever he started, I can't remember. It was like $2.50 an hour that he started at Sir Yakin whenever he went there. But I was thinking about this, her selfless commitment. When I was 18, I went to work at Unify. And at Unify, I loaded, yarned, and doffed. I loaded the biggest part of the time. And there back then, I don't know how it is now, but it was a 6-3 schedule. I had to work 6 days on, 3 days off. And so on the weekends, I had to work a lot of weekends. And then it would fall where I'd have several weekends off, and then I'd have to work weekends again. And I remember I was 20, 21 years old before I left Unify. I was 21 whenever I left Unify. And I remember them early Saturday mornings getting up to go in at Unify. There was never a time that I got up to go in work that my mama wasn't up. And every Sunday morning, which she fixed breakfast every morning before I'd go in, she'd have me breakfast. But I remember every Sunday morning, she would make a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich and pack it in my lunchbox. And she'd always make two because Eric Ball was working with me. And she made Eric Ball a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich, and she made me a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich. Every week, every morning of that weekend, she'd get up. Every Saturday and Sunday morning, and she had it ready for me. I never remember, I'm talking about a sacrificial heart and a selfless commitment. I never remember a morning getting up to go to school that my mama wasn't up, had breakfast made, had something ready for our kids, or had something ready for her kids for lunch. Let me tell you the reason why. She was a Proverbs 31 woman. She was a Proverbs 30. Well, you know, they just, them older women, they just don't understand what all we have to go through today. Cry me a river of tears. You don't understand what they went through. Somebody say amen. Mama didn't pull something out of the freezer, Miss Gay, and throw it in a toaster. She cooked. She cooked. Jacob was talking about his grandma. And when they went to school, she would have eggs and gravy and biscuits and bacon and homemade pancakes. And he said, that's the reason I look the way I do. Let me tell you the reason why. Here's the reason. She had a selfless commitment. She had a selfless commitment. Here's what, and I really preached all morning to get here, but here's what the Proverbs 31 mama is. She got a steadfast character, a sacrificial heart, a selfless commitment, but she's got a shining testimony. She's got a shining testimony. What did the Bible say in verse 38 or verse 28 of Proverbs 31? Here's what it said. Her children arise up and call her blessed. She has a shining testimony. Leslie and I have said this many times. If we reach the world and lose our kids, we have failed. I'm going to say it again. If I reach the world, if I preach, and I'm so thankful for what God allows me to do, the past year or two, I've absolutely been amazed at all the open doors that the Lord's given me. But if I preach the gospel to the world and lose my own kids, what have I accomplished? What have I accomplished? What do you want your life to be remembered for? I want my kids to remember a daddy that loved them, a daddy that was there for them. I thought about this. If your kid gets the call today that you're dead, what's their last memory of you? What's a sobering thought, isn't it? If your kid gets the call today that you're dead, what's their last memory of you? Here it is. If they call today and say, my mom's dead, I'm going to remember she was godly. She was godly. She had a relationship with God. She was saved. She was God. She had wisdom. She had kindness. She was long-suffering. She was always there for me. Always. There's never a time that mama wasn't there. There was never a time I was afraid to talk to my mama. Never one time. Let me tell you the reason why she was long-suffering. Here's something I'm going to remember. She always had a place for me at the table. Always had a place for me at the table. Matter of fact, the other day, y'all pray for my dad. The other day, he called and he said, we need to cut a tree. He said, I'm not as young as I used to be, not as fast as I used to be. Come up here and help me cut this tree. He said, I got just one or two trees up here at the cabin I want to cut down. I said, okay. So I got saw, went up there the next morning. He wanted me to come right then. I said, no, I'll come tomorrow. I went up there the next morning. Brother Scotty, that one great big, you and Brother Blake, I think, took the top out of that one great big pine tree right in front of his cabin that's leaning right back towards his cabin. He said, I'm going to take a tractor. I mean, it's huge. He said, I'm going to take a tractor and I'm going to put up against that tree and cut it and I'll push it out there in the yard. I said, you've lost your mind. Well, give me the saw. I said, no, I ain't giving you the saw either because my mama's in that cabin and you're not going to throw the tree through the cabin. That's my sister's inheritance one day. You're not going to do it. We argued back and forth, and I said, I ain't cutting it. He said, well, what are we going to do if it falls? I said, you should have thought about that before now. We went down behind the cabin, and I cut two or three back there and throwed them right out in the backyard of his cabin. And I looked at him. I said, that's enough to keep you busy for a day or two. When you get them cleaned up, we'll go somewhere else. And I walked back up the hill. It's about 7:30 that morning. We'd already done all that. I walked back up the hill. When I walked back in, my mama was standing in the kitchen. And she said, what do you want for breakfast? I'll set you a plate. What do you want for breakfast? My mama always had a place for me around the table. There was a time in my life where she probably, by world's view and Pharisee's view, she shouldn't have. But she always had a place at the table. Let me tell you the reason why. Because she loved me. Because she was godly. Because she was long-suffering. Because she was saved. Because her words was the law of kindness. I say this again. Everything that I just preached is not just for a mother. It's for all of us today. How is our words? How is our actions? Do we exemplify the law of kindness? I told somebody the other day, Brother Matt, I was talking to him, and I said, you know, they was talking about when I first started pastoring years ago. And they asked me, said, well, did you make any mistakes? And I said, no. Absolutely not. And they laughed, and I said, yeah, and they said, what was the biggest mistake that you made? And here's what I said. The way I said things sometimes. I said, there's probably a lot of people that would still be at Amazing Grace if I would have practiced words of kindness. You can take a stand and still be kind. May God help us today to have the right kind of character in our life.